Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Again, Moray Alicia Israel of the House of Israel, bringing you truth or tradition. Today we're going to speak on the true identity of the black man in America. During the past 2 weeks, we have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that the true sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the original house of Israel, is and always had been a black nation. We prove by a preponderance of scriptural evidence that Moses was black, according to Exodus, the 4th chapter. We prove that the children of Israel is a black nation, according to the book of Lamentations, the 4th chapter, the 8th verse, as well as Lamentations, the 5th chapter, the 10th verse. We prove that Job was a black man, according to Job 30 and 30. And we also prove that Jeremiah was a black man, according to the book of Jeremiah 8, 21st verse. And we also prove that the Garden of Eden is in Africa, not in Europe, not in Asia, but in the heart of Africa. And we prove this by taking you to the book of Genesis, the 2nd chapter, the 8th to the 15th verse. And we also prove that Adam was made out of the beautiful black dust of the earth that's within the continent of Africa, according to the book of Genesis, the 2nd chapter, the 7th verse. We have proved these things, but nevertheless, we have not totally proved what black nation is the house of Israel. There are many black nations upon the face of this earth. Now, is it that all of these nations are part of the house of Israel? And the answer is absolutely not. And how would you know what nation is Israel? Here we go to the book of Amos, the 3rd chapter. We're going to give you some undeniable, indisputable proof to wake our people up to their true identity. According to the book of Amos, the 3rd chapter, the 7th verse, it says,
"Surely Yahweh Elohim will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret
unto his servants the prophets.
In other words, it says, surely Yahweh will do nothing, nothing at all, except what he first reveals unto his servants, the prophets. And I'm here to show you what Yah has revealed to me this day pertaining to your identity. If we also go to the book of Amos, the third chapter, notice what it says in the first two verses.
Hear this word that Yahweh has spoken against you.
In other words, he didn't tell us to hear the word of Paul or Peter. The Almighty never told us to go and hear the word of anyone else. For him to do that is for him to put someone else over him or beside him. So every time Yahweh came to his messengers or his prophets, he told us to go to other people and tell the people what thus said Yahweh. And right here it said, hear the word which Yahweh speaketh against you, O nation of Israel.
Against the whole family.
Against the whole family.
Which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth.
Here the Creator says, you only, exclusively, have I known of all the families that are upon the face of this earth. You're the only one I knew. You're the only one I had a relationship with. You're the only one that I gave my laws, my statutes, and my judgments, and my covenants to. Therefore, as a result of you knowing right from wrong, I'm going to punish you for all of your iniquities. In other words, again, it says, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore will I punish you for your iniquities. And that's how you know that the black man in America is part of the original house of Israel. By the various punishments, by the various vexations and curses that Yahweh laid upon us as a nation. No other nation on the face of this earth, black or white, have been a recipient of the various curses that Yah spoke of in the Holy Scriptures that he said would befall his people because they rejected him. Notice the language that the Creator used in telling our people how we rejected him as a people. If you go to the book of Jeremiah, the 16th chapter. We want to go to Jeremiah, the 16th chapter, and we want to read the 10th to the 13th verse, because Yahweh knew that you and I would be asking this question one day. Because if we were a person that takes everything into consideration, we would know that Yahweh is well aware of the various trials and tribulations that you and I went through as a nation. But a lot of people would like to think that the plight of our people in America is merely a tribute or insignificant act that had escaped the all-seeing eyes of Yahweh. But that is not so. Everything that has ever happened, everything that is happening, and everything that will ever happen to us as a people have already been recorded in the Holy Scriptures. And the Most High knew that one day you and I would ask this question to ourselves if we were a person that would consider things. And notice what it says.
And it shall come to pass.
Jeremiah 16th chapter, the 10th verse. It shall come to pass.
When thou shalt show this people all these words.
And this is what I'm doing today. The Creator said, it shall come to pass when you show your people, Elisha, all these words.
And they shall say unto thee.
And the people shall say unto you.
Wherefore hath Yahweh pronounce all this great evil.
What did we do to deserve all this great evil? Alicia, I need you to show me why Yah allowed us to be brought from our homes in Africa, why he allowed us to be put on slave ships, where we were stacked on top of one another like sardines, where we were so crowded that we couldn't even hardly breathe. We died, many of our people, from merely suffocation in the bowels of a ship, where we didn't have proper air ventilation to breathe, where we were laying in our own filth night and day. And the Almighty said, it will surely come to pass. When you have people so ask you, why did the Almighty allow us to be brought as slaves? Why did he allow our families to be torn apart? Why did he allow our people to have their language taken away, their name taken away, their political, social, economical, and spiritual way of life change? Why would he allow these things to happen? Then he said,
but what is our iniquity?
That we would ask the prophets, what is our iniquity?
Or what is our sin?
What is our sin?
That we have committed against Yahweh our Elohim. Then shalt thou say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith Yahweh, and I have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. And ye have done worse than your fathers. For behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore, will I cast you out of this land into a land that ye know not, neither ye nor your fathers. And there shall ye serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor.
And that's what we're doing today. We're in a land outside of our own land where Yahweh cast us. And there we are serving other gods, even gods made of wood and stone, day and night, where he would show us no favor. And he's not showing us any favor today. Today, the unemployment of the nation, the white man's unemployment is 10%. The Hispanic is 12%. But the black man's unemployment is 16%, almost twice as high as other people. That alone will let you know that Yahweh is not showing us no favor in this land, even though there's a church on every corner in the black community. Our people are the most religious people in the world. They pray night and day, sing night and day, but undoubtedly, our Creator is not listening to our people, because collectively, as a whole, we're in worse shape than any people in America. We are the last hired and the first fired. We are the borrower and not the lender. We are the landless and not the landowner. And we have to go to other people for the bare necessities of life, because you and I as a people, as a nation, are not the producers of anything in the world other than foolishness. And it seems like Yahweh's word is correct. He says, it shall come to pass when you show this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, wherefore the Yahweh our Elohim do all these things against us? What is our sin and what is our iniquity that we have committed against our God? Then thou shalt say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me and have walked after other gods and served them and worshiped them, and thou hast done worse than thy fathers, for ye walk every man after the imaginations of his own evil heart, and have not kept my commandments. The Almighty said, we have done worse. And the Creator said, wherefore, because you have done these things, ye shall inherit all of these vexations and curses that will befall us as a nation. The Almighty knew that you had asked this question. Last week or 2 weeks ago, we began to go through the scriptures to show you various scriptures that would relate to our people to show them why we are in the condition that we are in today. And I would like to take you again back to the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. Because if you are a sincere individual, if you are a person that's honest with yourself, I challenge you, my people, and I challenge the world to read Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, the 15th to the 68th verse. And if you can find any people in the world that's more a recipient of the various things that you're going to read about, more so than our people, we were bowed out, give that individual $5,000 and quit teaching. If you can find any nation other than other tribes of Israel that are befitting and that are a recipient of these various curses that we're going to read to you today. And we go to that fifth book in the Torah called the Book of Deuteronomy. If we start reading at the 28th chapter, we must read the first verse to you.
And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of Yahweh thy Elohim, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that Yahweh thy Elohim will set thee on high.
Yahweh will set thee on high.
Above all nations of the earth.
And this is what occur if we listen and followed and hearken to the voice of the Mighty One of Jacob. But we didn't. We forsook his laws and did not walk in his ways. And he gave us a stern warning what would happen if we would not hearken unto him. Notice verse 15.
But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy Elohim, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee.
And that's where we are today. We are a recipient of the curses that overcame us and not the blessings, because we did not hearken to the words of the Most High, but we went away from his commandments. And he said, it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken to observe to do all the commandments and all these statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and shall overtake thee. Now, I read some of the curses last week, so I'll quickly go through them until we get to where we left off last week at the 32nd verse. But look at verse 15 or 16. The Creator said, cursed shall be thou in the city, and cursed shall be thou in the field. And that lets our people know that according to his prophecies, whether we're in the south or not, whether we're in the south or whether we're in the cities, it doesn't make any difference. You can't outrun the words of the true and living Elohim. If he said you're going to be cursed, you can move to New York, Chicago, or the biggest city in the United States, and they still going to take you down to the bottom of these jails and stick brooms and mops in your tail, as they have done our people here. You're going to still always be the last hired and the first fired. It's always going to be open season on you as far as killing your people. The other day I was looking at them, grabbed one of our people in a wheelchair. Couldn't he walk? And they grabbed him and grabbed by both arms and slammed him into the pavement face first. And this was done to a man that was totally incapacitated, couldn't walk, paralyzed, and they threw him in on the street. Notice what the Creator is saying, and notice who he's talking to. Verse 16.
Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store.
And I left off last week letting our people know that there's nobody in the world that have a worse diet than the so-called black man in America. We eat the worst food, and we have the shortest lifespan than anybody on earth because of this filth that we're eating. Our white counterpart in America, his lifespan is automatically 10 years over ours because of the various situations that we're confronted at with a people, as a people. Notice verse 17.
Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, and of thy flocks, and of thy sheep.
And here's where the Creator is putting a curse on us when we were in our land. He cursed our body. He cursed the fruit of our body and the fruit of our flocks and our herbs. And you know that went into effect because right now we don't have a land. We're the only people on the face of this earth that were taken out of their own land through the act of captivity and never return. We are the only people on the face of this earth that's waiting to be redeemed, that's waiting to return home. No other people can you find in that situation. You can go to the Mexicans, Hispanics, the Chinese, the Koreans, go to any other people and say, well, where's your land? Where's your country? Where's your nation? And he'll tell you. And those lands are accessible to them. You ask our people where the land is, they tell you, I don't know. They brought us from Africa, the continent of Africa, but we don't know what nation they took us from. We just know that we came from the continent of Africa. But we don't know our nationality. We don't know our identity. We don't know, and we're waiting to yet be returned. Everyone that has any good sense is still waiting to go home one day. But some of our people have been so indoctrinated that they think this is their home. And they're willing to fight and die to remain in the land of their captivity. Did you hear what I said? Our people are ready to fight and die just to remain in the land where they will always be the last hired and the first fired, where they will always be discriminated and exploited, where they always will be in a position where the Creator said he will show us no favor. A real black man wants nationalization. He wants to have a black nation. He wants to govern his own self. He wants to have his own nation. Every war that was ever fought on the face of this earth was all fought over one thing, and that is land. Land is and always had been their only basis of freedom. Nobody ever fought a war so they could vote. Nobody ever fought a war so they can try to integrate with another people. All wars were fought for independence, and to have independence, you got to have land. Land is and always had been the only basis for a man being free. Only then can he assert self-determination. Only then can he talk about having his own system, his own agriculture, his own educational system, his own farming system, his own army, his own independence. We celebrate other people's independence, and act the biggest fool in the world. On the 4th of July, you will see our people acting the biggest fool in the world, celebrating another man's independence, but our people don't want any independence of their own. We don't want to be separated from the white man. And then we wonder why he called us a boy. He fought to come over here and take another man's land, to be able to dominate another man, to be able to rule and control another man. And all you want to do is have a piece of the pie. Not your own land, not your own independence, but all you want is to tell the white man, listen, all I want to do is integrate, assimilate, and evaporate. I don't want my land. I don't want independence. I just want a piece of the pie. If you let me just have a piece of your pie, I'm willing to go and die and fight and lose my legs, arms, and limbs for your independence because I'm too trifling and too shiftless and too indolent to want to develop my own independence as any intelligent man would want to do. I don't have those values. I don't have those virtues. I just want to remain the highest paid slave in the world. This is the condition of our people mentally. Let's continue.
Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in.
What verse is that?
Verse 19.
Verse 19, it said, cursed shalt be thou when I cometh in.
And cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out.
When we're born, we're listed as a Negro or colored folks, African American, and we catch hell and discriminated from the cradle to the grave. We
yep.
curse when we come in and curse when we go out.
Yahweh shall send upon thee cursing, taxation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do.
And this is us. You have individuals that have achieved certain things. But we as a people are the most downtrodden, exploited, degraded people on the face of this earth. There's nobody in America that is downtrodden as we. And we can't point our fingers at the Hispanics anymore. As I brought to your attention, their unemployment is 12%, ours is 16%. They have jobs that we used to have because of the immigration program that your president set in where he allowed Hispanics to come in and take your jobs because he's looking for their votes. He's not trying to do anything for you because he'd know he got your vote just because he's black. He don't have to earn it. He can just come and collect it. So him being the politician that he is, he's out there to try to get the votes from the people that he knows that he had to earn that vote. He got to earn that from them. He don't have to earn it from you. He don't have to promise you anything, and he don't have to give you anything, and he hasn't. All he has to do is look like you, and you're so happy to have a man that's the president of the Klan that looks like you. You don't know what to do. And it don't have to give you anything at all. To show you the condition of our people, the president of the United States of America had a personal friend, a man that was his acquaintance, that it was his friend, that the policemen arrest him in his house. He showed them all the credentials that he lived here. His pictures were on the walls. He had all his credentials, all the papers. And they still took him in his house and arrested him. The president was so insulted, he said, well, that's really stupid. And it was stupid. But after the policeman began to criticize him, you know what happened. The rest is history. He took the policeman that had discriminated against one of his personal friends and invited him to the White House to drink beer with him. Now, if he's going to do this to a man that discriminated and misused and degraded his personal friend, what would he do if somebody did it to you and I, who he don't know? It wouldn't even get the papers. He would never bat his eye. It would mean nothing. Just as all the racial incidents in America today are occurring, it doesn't mean nothing to him. As long as it gets your vote. Let's finish.
Yahweh, verse 20. Yahweh shall send upon thee cursing.
Curses.
Vexations. And rebuke.
You know what rebuke means? That they're going to shun you. They're going to rebuke you in all that you set it thy hand unto to do. until I be destroyed, and until I perish quickly, because of thy
wickedness, of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me.
And because we have forsaken the Most High.
Yahweh shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he have consumed thee from off the land where thou go to possess it.
And that's a matter of history. It did. All the plagues that he sent to us in Jerusalem in the promised land, they clung to us, and they were cleaving unto us until he drove us out of our land.
Yahweh shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with the blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish.
Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about all the diseases that we have, that we got in this land, as a result of our disobedience to him. Right now, in America, we are the people that have the shortest lifespan than anybody here. Make less money than anybody here. The most unemployed than anybody here. And Yah said all these things, all this information, all of this arthritis and rheumatism and gout, all this cancer and this extreme burning and the sword and mildew shall cleave unto thee until I be destroyed.
And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. And Yahweh shall make the rain of thy land powder, and dust from heaven shall it come down upon thee.
Yes, he turned the land and the elements against us because of our disobedience to him.
Yahweh shall cause thee to be smitten before thy enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them, and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth.
And that's what happened. Yah said we would go out one way and flee seven different ways, because he's not with you. And when the Most High is not with you, nobody's with you. And that's why nobody's with us today. We have no allies of any nation in the world. No allies. No one came to our aid. Everyone here is to exploit our people. And Yah said we would go out against our enemy seven ways and flee. Go out one way and flee seven ways until we be destroyed. And we will be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And that is true. Every nation on this earth has some of our people living there. Believe it or not, when they got to America, they already had some blacks living here. You had blacks in Europe. You had blacks in China. You had blacks, and a lot of soldiers from Vietnam told me when they was over there fighting, they seen Vietnamese up in those hills that were blacker than many of them. Our Creator removed us and to all the kingdoms upon the face of this earth.
And thy carcass shall be meat unto all the fowls of the air, and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall freight him away.
No man should assist us in our recovery.
Yahweh will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emeralds, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed.
And he would put these diseases on us. The diseases that would cleave on our people, and he said there would be no healing, there would be no remedy to them.
Yahweh shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart.
And you know that's what's happening today. When you see our people out here selling drugs to each other, when you see the unprecedented killing of one another and men shooting their brothers and sisters as if they were some kind of little animals or play toys that would not die, you would see that our people were truly mad. Many of our elders are afraid to go out of their houses at night because of the madness and sickness that's in these streets. That's pitiful. Once the man, the older man that was honored and looked up to, now he's afraid to go out of his house when the sun go down because he's afraid of being victimized by people that's young as his grandson and his great-grandson. He feared them, and he got good reason, too, because there's madness in the communities and the streets of America. It is madness and sickness. And he said he would smite our people with madness and astonishment of heart.
And thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore.
Now, we're not prospering in our ways. Many of us had construction companies where we were doing roofing work and having our construction companies and working in hotels as bellhops and managers. Now, all you have to do is go in those restaurants. Look and see who's the shelves. Look and see who's the managers. Look and see who's on the rooftops. Look and see who have the construction trucks. Right in our own community where we pay taxes at, you see everybody earning a big living except somebody that looks like you. We're not prosperous because the Almighty said that we wasn't. And you could put any of these politicians in office, and you're going to have the same thing. Nothing is going to change. Because when they get in office, they will themselves will start looking out for their own pockets. There's a verse in the Bible that says, where man's treasure is, there his heart shall also be. That's in the New Testament. I don't quote that much, but that is a fact. And if it's a truth, I got to recognize it. That is one of the truths that's in the New Testament. Where man's treasure is, that his heart shall also be. And once they get on that council and get to making $50,000 and $60,000 a year for just doing a few hours work or not even no work at all, just being in a couple of meetings, he's not finna turn that loose. He's gonna do whatever is necessary to secure that position again. And being a politician, they don't do what's right and they don't do what's wrong, but they do what is expedient. And that means what is necessary for them to get back in office. And whatever that takes, they're going to do, because they're not going to want to miss that gravy train once you put them on the table with Master. He's going to want that gravy train, and he will sell you out to remain there, just as these other politicians have done in the past and are doing as I speak to you this day.
Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house.
And you know that happened to us, and you know who that's speaking of. Read that again, verse 30.
Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof.
Notice, thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. And you know that because all you have to do is see a room full of blacks and all of us got a different complexion. The reason our complexions are so different because there's not a black man in America that came here as a slave that other men were not laying with our wives. The plantation owner laid with any young girl he pleased. And anytime he wanted another man's wife, he just told his overseer to fetch her and send her up to his house. And there was nothing that the husband could do. He couldn't say, no, that's my wife. Where are you taking her to? I'm married to her. I have children by her. You can't take her and let her sleep with another man. She belongs to me. That's not right. This man does not consider what's right and wrong. He's not about what is right. He's about what is wicked. And if he can get by doing it, he'll do it.
Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee.
And that happened. My granddaddy didn't tell me down south, they want to go and grab your ox. If one of them want to grab your sheep and grab one of your cattle, you hope that they don't, but if they wanted to, there was nothing you could do. You couldn't go down and say, hey, policeman, this man came on my farm and took my house, or took my cattle, and took my horse. There was nothing they could do. They could just pray and hope that they wouldn't do it, because if they did do it, there was nothing they could do about it. It said, "Thy ox shall be slain before thy eyes, and thou shalt not eat of it. Thy ass shall be violently taken away before thy face, and thou shalt not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thy enemy, and thou shalt have none to rescue them." We didn't have no soldiers. We didn't have no sheriffs. We didn't have no policemen. We didn't have nobody to go and say, "Hey, that belonged to that black man. Give it back. That's his." None. He then said in verse 32,
"Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand."
Isn't that something? The Almighty let us know that when we came to America, that we would endure a type of slavery that's not even written in the annals of history. There had been no type of slavery existing on the face of the earth. Whereas a man took a man's wife and sons and daughters and completely separated the families, completely tore them apart, completely took their culture away. And once they change your name, they destroy your culture. And that's what they did to our people. And when they took our sons and daughters and sold them, right before our eyes, the Almighty said there would be no might in your hand. We had no shotgun and no .357 or no .9mm that we could go and rescue our sons and daughters. We had no might in our hand at all.
"The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed away."
And there shall only be oppressed and crushed away.
"So that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes."
Ye shall be mad for the sight of thy eyes which thou shalt see. And that's the condition that a lot of our people are in today, just as they were many years ago. The scripture says oppression will even make a wise man mad. With this kind of oppression, how else can a man be except mad at the sight of his eyes when he was seeing, because it was really unbelievable, unimaginable, undescribable, somebody taking your little baby daughter and selling her and snatching her out of your hands and out of your arms and giving her to another man, and you know you would never see your daughter again in her life. You know they would take your son and sell him to a plantation, and another son and ship him to another state where they would never see each other again. What else can a man do but for madness to come and possess his mind and his eyes? And it said, "Thou shalt be mad. They shall be mad for the sight of thy eyes which thou shalt see." It's enough to make a brass monkey cry.
"Yahweh shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs."
And with all that arthritis and rheumatism and gout he's speaking of.
"With a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. Yahweh shall bring thee, and thy king which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known."
Notice this now. We had great kings, and our kings, such as Solomon, did commerce with all the kings all over Africa, with all the Assyrian kings, with all the Syrian kings, with all the kings of Ethiopia and Ghana and Libya. He was all over Mesopotamia, making trades and dealing in commerce, and they knew Israel, and Israel knew them. But notice what Yah said in verse 33. "Yahweh shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and that thou shalt serve other gods, wood and stone. That happened to us. He's speaking of America, brothers and sisters. He's speaking of us coming here. He's not talking about no place in Africa. He's talking about us coming to this land in ships, as you will read, that it will explain in the next few verses.
And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword amongst all nations, whither Yahweh shall lead thee.
Notice what Yah said, thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword amongst all nations, where Yahweh shall lead thee. Why? Why did Yah allow this to befall us? If we go to 1 Kings, the 9th chapter, notice what it says in the book of 1 Kings, the 9th chapter. Because we want to deal with this for a few moments. Notice, start reading, verse 6.
But if ye should at all turn from following me,
which we did,
ye or your children,
and will not keep my commandments
and my statutes,
which I set before you,
but go and serve other gods
and worship them,
then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them.
And this house
which I have hallowed
will I cast out of my sight.
And Israel shall be a proverb.
Be a proverb.
And a byword.
And a byword.
Amongst all people.
Amongst all people. And so we don't make no difference. We are a proverb and a byword amongst all people. I don't care how intelligent you think your little boy and girl is. Let's take one of the best schools in Cincinnati, Warner Hill School. Look how your son is a proverb. If the teacher asks every child in that room to stand up and tell the class their nationality, every child in that room will be able to do that from any other nation except our people. One child would go and say, well, I'm English American. I'm Italian American. I'm Irish American. Somebody might say, I'm Japanese American, Chinese American, Korean American. I'm Ethiopian American. I'm Ghanaian American. I'm Kenyan American. But when you get to our people, I'm just an Afro-American. What does that mean? What does that symbolize? That symbolizes that you know what continent you come from, but you don't know your nation. You don't know your identity because you don't have no nationality. You don't know what nation you derive from. So when other blacks say they're Kenyan American or an Ethiopian American, all you can do is say, well, I'm just an African-American. Well, all of them are African-American, but they say, what is your nationality? Not what continent did you come from? And everybody can tell the people that except your son, your daughter, because they don't know it, because Yahweh said they would become a proverb and a byword amongst all the nations whether I have sinned them. I will cast them out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword amongst all people.
And at this house.
And at this house.
Which is high.
Which was one of the highest houses in the world.
Everyone that passes by it shall be astonished.
They shall be astonished and shall hiss.
And they shall say,
why has Yahweh done thus unto this land and unto this house?
And they shall answer,
because they forsook Yahweh the Elohim,
who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt,
and have taken hold upon other gods,
and have worshipped them,
and served them.
Therefore hath Yahweh brought upon them all this evil.
Therefore, Yahweh hath brought upon us all this evil. Our people think this is it's a pleasure to have a religion. And they want to criticize Elisha because Elisha condemns these religions And they will say, well, everybody has the right to have the religion of his choice. Brothers and sisters, Yah did not give us a religion. When Moses went up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, Moses did not come down with 10 different religions. Moses did not come down with 10 different denominations. Moses came down to the children of Israel and came and brought them the commandments and covenants of Yahweh. We don't need a religion. We have the true and living Elohim. So why would you relegate yourself to serving a religion? Why would you lower yourself because you want a religion? Islam is a religion. Christianity is a religion. You are a great people that the Almighty made a covenant with. He didn't give you a religion. He gave you himself. Now, who would want to trade Yahweh for religion except an absolute fool? Notice what Yahweh told our people about himself. If we go to the book for a moment of Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, the 6th verse, read that to our people.
Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. For thou art an holy
people.
For
thou art a holy people.
Unto Yahweh thy Elohim. Yahweh thy Elohim have chosen thee to be a special people.
To be a special people.
Unto himself.
Unto himself.
Above all people.
Above all people.
That are upon the face of
the
earth.
There is nobody that Yah did not put you above. That's reading all the other nations are laughing and grinning that you are at the bottom now. And they want to keep you at the bottom. And as long as you serve these false idols that your enemies gave you, you will remain at the bottom. And I said many, many, many times before that the greatest criticism that I have for my people is that we have relied on the same man that mistreated us to teach us. And common sense will tell you that if a man won't treat you right, he won't teach you right. And this is the man that gave us Christ. Now, do you think that the white man, if he thought Christ could save you, he would have introduced him to you? And when was Christ introduced to the black man? He was introduced to us when we were on the plantation, when we were his slaves. And he'd know he could keep you his slave if he gave you a God that could not save, a God that could not fight, a God that would teach you to only love your enemies and love them that despitefully use you and persecute you and mistreat you. He'd know that if he gave you a dose of Christianity, he would keep you on the bottom, and today you're still at the bottom. And you've been serving Christianity ever since we were on the plantation. You just started voting a few years ago, but you've been serving Christ all your life. Your parents have been serving Christ all their life. And he hadn't proffered you one single thing. He hadn't proffered you at all. Notice what Jeremiah said. In Jeremiah, the 8th chapter, and we'll start reading at the 20th verse. Notice what the great prophet Jeremiah said about how sick our people are. They say that insanity is when a man does the same thing over and over but expect different results. I heard a preacher the other day, I'm watching TV, and he was on there talking about, the greatest love of his life and the greatest thing in his life that ever happened to him is when he fell in love with Christ. Well, you know why he fell in love with Christ? Because once he fell in love with Christ, he knew that was an instrument that he could utilize to rape his people, to exploit his people, to plunder the money away from his people. And now this preacher is a millionaire. lives in a $1 million house and has $1 million in the bank. No wonder he loves Christ. No wonder these preachers love Christ, because Christ has profited them, but he has not profited our people. Our people have only been destroyed. Notice what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah the 8th chapter, verse 20.
The harvest is past.
The harvest is past. Look how many harvests have passed since the white man introduced you to Christianity in the 1600s. Look how many harvests have passed.
The summer is ended.
The summer is ended.
And we are not saved.
And we are still not saved. Another year has went by. Another year. And Christ told us in the New Testament that anything that we would ask for in his name, he would give it to us. Anything. That's what he said. And if he and how many of slaves do you think asked him for freedom? Do you think Nat Turner, who is a Christian minister, Nate Turner, who is a Protestant minister, do you think that he asked for freedom? Yes, he did. He asked for it, and what did he get? Notice Jeremiah. The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughters of my people am I hurt. I am black. Ani kahor. I am black. Astonishment has taken hold of me. He was astonished because his prophet looked in the future and seen the state of our people. And Yah said he would be astonished because when anybody see our people, they would look and say, I'm astonished. What happened to this people? Why are they so destructive to one another? Why aren't they progressive enough to want to have their own? Why don't they ever want to return to nation Africa, the greatest continent in the world, and build up their own nation? Why does they come over here, and as soon as they come over here, they get a good job, they don't even want to go back home? Why is it that they lost all sense of who they are? I'm astonishment. I'm astonished, said Jeremiah. Astonishment have taken hold of me. He said, is there no Baal in Gilead? In other words, is there no medicine there? Is there no physician there? Then why then is not the health or the daughters of my people recovered? And we're asking today, all these doctors are giving you all these drugs that's killing you. Drugs that will suppress one thing and create 7 and 8 more symptoms and other problems. If these drugs are any good, is there any medicine here in Babylon? Why are my people still sick? Can we take some medicine and learn to love each other? Is there a medicine that we can take that will stop us from being so destructive to one another? Is there some kind of medicine we can take and it will cause us to recover from the ill treatment that have been done to our people and our ancestry for years? Is there no Baal in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Then why are our people not recovered? Let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy, 28th chapter. What verse did we leave off?
37.
Verse 37.
But
before we go to verse 37, there's something else I want to say about verse 36. Notice, read verse 36 again.
Yahweh shall bring thee, and thy king which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known.
He's talking about America. Let me repeat that. He's speaking of America.
And there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone.
And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword amongst all nations, whether Yahweh would lead thee. Why would we be an and astonishment, because we wouldn't have a name. They would name us anything they wanted to name us. According to the annals of history and slavery, any father and mother that was caught naming their children after themselves would be severely punished. Any father or mother that was caught teaching a child their original language would be severely punished. Any father and mother that was trying to teach their child anything except how to fear master would be severely punished. And we would become a proverb because we wouldn't know who we were. We had to be who he named us. And the Almighty prophesied that. Let's go to the book of Psalms 83 for a moment. The book of Psalms, the 83rd division. And look what Yahweh said would happen to our people. And look what our enemies, he said, would do to our people. According to Psalms 83.
Keep not thou silence, O Elohim.
He tell we cry unto the Creator and say, keep not thy silence, O Elohim.
Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O Elohim. For lo, thy enemies make a tumult.
And they that hate thee have lifted up their head.
They have taken crafty counsel.
Notice what kind of counsel they took against the Most High and his people. It said, this devil took crafty counsel, not only counsel with each other, but they took crafty counsel
against thy people,
against the people of Yahweh, which is the house of Israel.
And consulted against thy hidden ones.
And they consulted against our people.
They have said,
come and let us cut them off from being a nation. That's what they wanted to do, and this is what they did during slavery. They said, let us come. All these nations got together and took crafty counsel and said, one way we can destroy them is come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel would be no more in remembrance. So they didn't allow us to call ourselves Israelites. They took that name away. They wouldn't allow us to name our baby Jeremiah or Elisha or Zephaniah or Hosea. They had to name them Charlie and John and Timmy and Curtie and Reynold and Raph. They had to name them their names. We're the only people in the world that's wearing another man's name because they took our name away. So you know he's not talking about the Jewish man. Let's stop for a minute. If you run into a Jewish man and ask him his name, he'll say his name is Mr. Goldberg or Silversmith or Frankenstein or Mr. Jewelleg. He'll give you a name and say, where did you get that name from? Ask him. And he will say that was always the name ancestry. Those are the names of my father, and I'm wearing it because I want to honor my father like the Chinese and the Japanese and the Russian and everybody else honor their fathers by naming their children after their culture, after their people. Then you ask him and say, well, aren't you the true Israelite? And then he would say yes and say, well, if you're the true Israelite, I thought the Almighty took your name away. And I thought he gave you other people's names. Here, your name is not Israel. You were telling me your name was always Silverstein and Wolfgard and Boomberg and Steinberg. These are your names. Nobody imposed these names on you. These are your names. But on the other hand, those other people that's fighting over that piece of pigtail, that's not their name. Their name is not Reynolds and Thomas and Smith and Jones and Lewis, but these are names that was imposed upon them on the plantation. Why did your people take their name away? Why did your people not allow them to address their children by the names of their great-grandfather? They didn't allow it because they were in the process of cutting you off from being a nation. And the way you stop a person from being a nation, you take away his name. And once you take away his name, you're taking away his culture. And once you take away his culture, you have taken away his identity. And once you have taken away his identity, then that man becomes a proverb and a byword and an astonishment amongst all the other people, because everybody knows that name except him. Everybody has a nation except him. That's how you know the black man in America is the original Hebrew Israelite. We're the only people in the world that they took our culture away, they took our name away, they took our language away, they took us out of our land, they took us out of our community, and they would not allow the elder people to teach the children, and they made it a law that if a black man is caught reading a book, he would be severely punished. And some the hand off. In other states, they would break up the family and sell them as a way of intimidating them about reading. That was the worst thing. That was two things that was bad for a slave to do. Look at a white woman and read a book. Today, they don't mind you looking at a white woman because they want you lost and the state lost. But they don't want you to search out your identity. They want you to read their books, but they don't want you to listen to Yahweh's prophet. They don't want you to listen to Elisha. Yah said he would do nothing except what he reveals unto his servants, the prophets. That's the reason you go to church on Sunday morning and all you can see is a fool jumping up and down, acting like he's a big windbag, not doing nothing, just sweating and grunting and munting and making all kind of sounds and appealing to your emotions, trying to get you to holler and scream, because he's not bringing nothing to the table. He can't talk to you like I am because he has no message. Notice what the Creator said his message would be. Hold this for a minute. Now hold Psalms 83, because we're coming back here. But notice what the Most High said about these preachers in the book of Jeremiah, the fifth chapter. The Creator said, in the fifth chapter, Jeremiah, verse 13.
And the prophet shall become wind.
These false prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus should it be done unto them. Yahweh said they should just be a big windbag. And that's what all these prophets and all these old preachers are. They're a big windbag. They can entertain you, and that's why you go to their churches, to be entertained. But they're not teaching you nothing that could prosper you as a people. Nothing that can profit you as a people. They're big windbags. But notice verse 14. And that's what you're getting from me.
Wherefore doth saith Yahweh Elohim of hosts, because ye speak this word.
Because you speak this word, Yah tell the prophets, because you're speaking my word, because you're going to the people telling them, what thus said Yahweh. Wherefore thus said Yahweh the Elohim of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire. And this people would, and it shall devour them. And this word is burning you up. And there's no escape from it, because it's the truth. Let's get back to the book of Psalms, 83.
They have taken crafty counsel against thy people.
Taken crafty counsel against thy people.
And consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come. And let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance.
That the name of Israel shall be no more. in remembrance, and then the Almighty tell you the various nations that confederated together and to craft the council that cut us off from being a nation. Notice what it says. If you start reading first verse 6, the first person he named is what?
The Tabernacles of Edom.
The Jewish people. The Tabernacle of Edom. The Jewish people. The first one he named. Now, Farrakhan will tell you what the Jewish people did. He will tell you how they played a hand as far as the destruction of the black man in America is concerned, but Mr. Farrakhan will not tell you what the Arabic people did. He will not tell you what the Ishmaelites did. He will not tell you that it was the Ishmaelite servants and merchants in Africa that sold us to the white man. He will not tell you that, because he wants to deal with that and claim their religion and try to get their money, so he's not going to tell you the truth about the Ishmaelites. But look what the Almighty says. For they are consulted together with one consent. They are confederated against thee, the Tabernacle of Edom, and the Ishmaelites. Now, he ain't going to talk about the Ishmaelites, or they give him money. And he's pondering their religion. Even though he claimed we're Israelites, he's still talking Islam. Now, if you're an Israelite, now why would you take hold to a religion that was started thousands of years after your nation had been developed? If you know you're an Israelite, then why aren't you serving the God of Israel? Why aren't you serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Why aren't you teaching our people about Yah's great Sabbath day? Why aren't you teaching them about his great laws and covenants? Why aren't you doing that? You can't do that because you're holding on to that lie. And Yah's servants is going to expose every one of you as I am doing this very day. You're all on shaky ground, all of the ministers. And notice what Yah said further about these ministers that are ripping off our people. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel for a moment, and I'm going to show you what Yah said in the 34th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. All right, let's start reading at verse 1.
And the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim unto the shepherds.
Thus said Yahweh Elohim unto the shepherds.
Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves.
You're feeding yourselves. You're capitalizing and making all this money and getting rich feeding yourselves.
Should not the shepherds feed the flocks?
The duty of a shepherd is to feed the flock, not to feed himself.
Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock.
But ye feed not the flock.
The disease have ye not strengthened. Neither have ye healed that which was sick. Neither have ye bound up that which was broken.
Neither have ye bound up that was broken, said Yahweh.
Neither have ye brought again that which was driven away.
And neither have ye brought again that which was driven away.
Neither have ye sought that which was lost.
Neither have they sought that which was lost.
But with force.
But with force.
And with cruelty.
And with cruelty. That's when they killed a lot of people that got in their way. That started exposing him. That's the reason Malcolm X is dead today. That's the reason a lot of other men are dead today, because they are exposing this abomination that's taking place.
With force and with cruelty have ye ruled them, and they were scattered because there is no shepherd.
They were scattered because there is no shepherd.
And they became meat to all the beasts of the field. When they were scattered, My sheep wander through all the mountains, and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search.
None did search?
Or seek after them.
Or seek after them. Now let's go real quick through, because we only have a few moments left. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to open up the lines to talk to any of my brothers and sisters here. Any brothers and sisters that got any comments, I want to hear it. Any brothers and sisters that have any rebuke of anything that I'm said, that disagree with anything, call in. But we're first going to go to our dearly beloved brother, the Black Lion, and we're going to let him make his comment, and then we're going to go to others. And if anybody want to call in, we got a couple lines open, 7-4-9-12-30. We want to hear you if you believe that we're teaching the truth. Call in. And if you believe that what we're saying is a lie, call in. Call in and let the world know that Alicia is lying to the people. Call in. Right now we're going right to the Black Lion. Yes, sir.
Hey, greetings, Elder. Greetings. How you doing
shalom,
today?
Shalom, shalom, brother. How you doing?
I'm very well, very well. Hey, I just was listening to the show and wanted to call in and say great show. I mean, extremely great show today. Hopefully I can get a copy of this show because this is another award-winning conversation piece.
Well, thank you. You sure can. We're going to have it for the people. And by Wednesday, if you want a copy, all you have to do, anyone else can call me Wednesday at 226-7110. 226-7110.
Well, thank you, and shalom.
Shalom, brother. Thank you. All right. Right now, we got a phone call all the way from Atlanta, Georgia. And who is this? This is one of the greatest teachers in the world on a line. Out of Atlanta, Georgia, the great Moray Elkanan Ben Israel. Let's go right to him on line two. Shalom, brother.
Shalom, beloved brother. I'm going to tell you, I have truly enjoyed that truth you have given to our people. That was the most dynamic words of wisdom that our people could have ever heard all their life about who we are as a people. And I love you, brother.
Thank you, and I love you too, brother.
And just keep up the great work, my brother.
Thank you. Thank you. With brothers like you encourage me, well, I have no choice but to do so, brother. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for everything, and keep up the tremendously great work they're doing in Atlanta, Georgia.
Thank you, and I definitely will do that, and I know you're doing it right now. So praise the mighty Yahweh.
Hallelujah. Shalom, shalom.
Long, shalom.
All right. Anybody else that want to call in to say anything, you can call in at area code 513-749-1230. Right now we have a phone call all the way from North Carolina. Brother Don from North Carolina. Let's go right to him. Shalom, brother. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Shalom to you, Brother Elisha.
Thank you. Shalom.
Again, I just have to echo what the previous callers have said, that the word that you have given is most true and most righteous, and it behooves us to adhere to what you're saying as a people.
Well, hallelujah. Praise the mighty God.
I've got a question for you.
Yes.
With this, you know, our current president, President Barack Obama, he had the Israeli Jewish prime minister in Washington recently, and you know, telling everybody that these people are the original people, basically implying that they're the people. They just go back to the 1967 land and go back to the, you know, swap some land with the Palestinians. And what would you say about something like that?
Well, I want the world to know two things. First of all, the other day they killed Bin Laden. They killed the wrong enemy. The enemy of the United States is American foreign policy. The American foreign policy is what created Bin Laden, and it will create other Bin Ladens. And what foreign policy is that? The foreign policy that does two things. One, a foreign policy that shows privileges and favoritism stored toward the state of Israel against all of their Arabic neighbors. There is no justice in their relationship with the other Arabic nations compared to the state of Israel, and all the other nations know it. And then we have another great deceit. Their foreign policy is a policy that got false people up, put them in our land, calling them the Israelites or the Israelis, and try to keep us over here in America asleep. That foreign policy will create many enemies for the United States, because Yahweh will make the enemies for them.
Mm-hmm.
They will eventually have to give us our land.
That's true.
They will eventually have to recognize us as the true heirs of the land. But the foreign policy they have, and they got Barack Obama lying, talking about other people, the Jews, and he's trying to find a way to keep them on the land and keep them happy and keep the people, listen, there's no hope for peace to be over there. There will be no peace in that land until we return home. And there's nothing that Bin Laden can do. There's nothing.